All right, very good. So I was telling you that I'm about to do something stupid. I've been here long enough for you to know now that I occasionally can get a little emotional in the sermons. This is a characteristic passed on to me from my father, who was known for crying in his sermons. Now, when I was in junior high, I was always tremendously embarrassed by the fact that he would cry, and whenever that would start, I'd bury my head in my hands in the pew. And so I suppose it's rather fitting that I have now picked up this character trait of his, and Maya can one day look forward to being embarrassed by me, perhaps. It's no secret, I think most of you know, that my dad has cancer. He's had it for quite some time. This is really a stupid idea. I'm not going to go into current details because my mom and dad are rather private people, but let's just say this subject has been had a large impact on my life in the last couple days. So I was going to start a sermon series this morning. On the book of James, and my heart wasn't in it. So I felt what I was needing to do personally was to be in the Word in regards to subjects of suffering and death. Well, this is worse than I thought. All right, I needed to be doing that. I needed to get into the Word, and as a result, you're going to share a little bit in my journey. I guess that's what happens when you have a pastor. You share in what I'm thinking about at the time. So anyway, as you figured out already, the stupid thing I'm going to do this morning, and it's stupid because of my emotions and current events in my family, is to try to preach today on the subject of why do people need to face pain and suffering and death. And I'm going to apologize at the outset for any long pauses that are pretty much guaranteed to occur in this sermon. Now, I have come up with a plan to make it to make sure that we actually do get out of here at some point today. And so there's one Bible verse that I'm not going to attempt to read. And, and you're just going to get it on the board. And there is a point in the sermon where I have actually recorded myself because we really would never leave if I tried to do that live. So that's totally bizarre. I don't know if anyone has ever done that, but I'm actually going to sit down for a piece of the sermon, and you're going to listen to me preach it over the audio. And if you need to close, your eyes and imagine me up here, that's fine. I suppose for some of you, you might not even know that I'm gone, right? No, just kidding. All right, and then after that part, I'll come back up and finish the sermon. So why do people need to face pain and suffering and death? We know from reading Scripture that all pain has its origin in the fall of humanity. The reason that pain exists is related somehow to Satan, the one who has sought to spoil God's creation and to deceive. The reason pain exists is also somehow related to the disobedience of humankind, both that original sin and all of the sins that followed. We typically don't know the specific reason for most pain. Why do some people suffer strokes relatively early in life and deal with ongoing pain? Others don't. Is God involved in that somehow? Is that just more of a random thing because of living in a broken world? You know, most of the times we can't know the answers to those things. Now, if I would get drunk tonight and get behind the wheel of a car and drive my car into a tree and end up in the emergency room, then we would know why I was suffering. But there are many types and occasions of suffering where we simply do not know the reason for it. But we can talk in general terms. As we just said, we know that ultimately all pain is related somehow to Satan, somehow to sin. That's the source. We also know from Scripture that ever since the fall of humankind, God has been slowly working out and revealing a master plan to redeem the world, to save human souls from this broken situation, to eventually bring about a new creation where his followers will dwell with new bodies and walk on a new earth under new sky, and pain will be eliminated. These are things that we know. Now, I know that it's one thing to talk theologically about pain, and it's another to experience it. It's one thing to know that other people in the world suffer in pain, but it's another thing to know that your own father may soon be facing a lengthy period of suffering. That's not a theological discussion at that point. A number of people in our church body have faced this situation with their loved ones just within this last year. We remember Donnie and Nyla and Jeff Ronglin. We think of Roxy's mom, Paul's uncle just from this last week, Sherry Jones' mother. And I'm sure that there are others that I'm forgetting. This is one of the nightmares that we all have, isn't it? To be bedridden, unable to do the things that we used to do at better times in our lives, suffering pain that we know will likely only get worse until we die. We imagine living day to day in that condition. Most of the time, our illnesses are things that we can look forward to getting over in a relatively short period of time, like when you have the flu. That can be pretty miserable, but you know if you just hang in there, you're going to be back in business. But here we're talking today about a situation where you're in pain, and you know that you are not likely to be back in business in this world. Psalm 38, I think, gives us a good picture of the type of situation I'm talking about here. And this is the one I'll let you read on your own, and Christina will flip through it. So why? Why does this have to happen? Why do people need to face pain and suffering and death? Some of what we'll talk about today will apply to situations of pain and suffering that happens during life. But my comments today are primarily focused on the process of dying, something that we are all sure to face one day. Okay, so you already know that I can't answer this question. Scripture tells us, after sin entered the world was cursed. Pain was part of that curse. Adam and Eve were forbidden to stay in the garden. Access to eternal life was denied to them, and it was determined that all human beings should die. I don't pretend to understand the whys. We have great reasons to believe that God is the source of all goodness and love. And so at some point, we just need to trust that this was the best path given the scenario. Will not the Lord of the earth do right? Even though I can't answer this question for us, there are some thoughts that I've gathered from my reading over the last few days I'd like to share with you that have been comforting thoughts to me. Thought number one, there is nothing that we will face that Jesus did not face. How wise a God we have, because when I think about facing, isn't it comforting to know that when you go to face that someday, you can know that Jesus went through it too. That he's been through it, and that he came out the other side in a perfected body. He got through it, I can face it. Thought number two. If we want to see the character of God, we can look at Jesus. Well, Jesus cared about people who were suffering, and Jesus healed suffering people. When you just do a word search on suffering in the Gospels, this is what you come up with. Matthew 4:24. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and Jesus healed them. Matthew 8:6. Again, this is a word search on suffering in the Gospels. Lord, the man said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. That servant was healed by Jesus. Matthew 15, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. That daughter was healed by Jesus. Matthew 17, Lord, have mercy on my son, another man said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, and that son was healed by Jesus. You'll remember the woman who Jesus healed in this verse, Mark 5. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Luke 4, Jesus left the synagogue, went home to the home of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. The person suffering was healed by Jesus. And last one, Luke 14. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. The person suffering was healed by Jesus. God cares about people who are suffering. God heals people. This is his character. If he doesn't heal you during this lifetime, you have a promise in Scripture that he will heal you in heaven. If you're on death's door and you are suffering, commit your body and your spirit to God. He will either heal you in this world or in heaven. He will bring an end to your suffering and bring life. This leads me to my next thought, which of course we have to mention in this discussion. There is hope, even in the process of dying. And of course, this hope is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. While we are in this tent, we groan, we are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead in our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And may I add, capital L, life. Amen. Jesus himself says it in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Do you trust Jesus? Then believe it. I'll have more to say about heaven in the next point, so I won't develop it further here, other than to say again that even in the day after day suffering that occurs when our bodies start to malfunction and break down, even in that terrible situation, there is hope for you. I don't know about you, but I look at C.S. Lewis kind of like an old friend. When I'm struggling, I go to Scripture first, but I often throw in C.S. Lewis. He's comforting to me. I would imagine a fair number of you might have read his book on the problem of pain. And I went back to that one this week. I want to bring to you a thought that he has there. So C.S. Lewis writes this. Everyone has noticed how hard it is to turn our thoughts to God when everything is going well. God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our conscience, and he shouts to us in our pain. Pain shatters the illusion that all is well. It shatters the illusion that what we have is our own and is enough for us. God, who has made us, knows what we are and that our happiness lies in him. Yet we will not seek it in him as long as he leaves any other resort where it can even plausibly be looked for. While what we call our own life remains agreeable, we will not surrender it to him. What then can God do in our best interest but make our own life less agreeable to us and take away the plausible sources of false happiness? This is my final thought of the morning. Pain reminds us that we cannot keep this life. It reminds us to pay attention to God. C.S. Lewis continues, God knows that a human being's modest prosperity and the happiness of their children are not enough to make them blessed. This is what we want, isn't it? I mean, I think most of us have been around Christianity long enough that we're not really dying to get rich, right? We don't need all of that worldly wealth, but we would be okay with modest prosperity, right? Some comforts, some enjoyments, and of course, we want our children to be healthy and happy. We want modest prosperity. So that seems like a good life, doesn't it? Modest prosperity and healthy, happy children. But C.S. Lewis says, modest prosperity, the happiness of their children are not enough to make a human being blessed. All of these things will fall away from them in the end. Therefore, God troubles us, warning us in advance of an insufficiency that one day we will have to discover. We cannot keep this life. And pain reminds us of that fact. I know I've said this story a few times to you now, this experience of having a baby born, having a child. And I've said to you that I think that I expected to feel all this pride, and this was my child, and Anna and I had created this child. And then you go through that process and you find out, I had nothing to do with it, you know? I mean, yeah, I suppose we, pressed start on the process that God created and that God runs. But that's about it. I had no control on how that baby would form in the womb, whether it would survive or not, whether it would be healthy or not. That's all God's realm, not mine. So Maya is my child, but she's also not my child. She came into this world because of God's will. He allows us to share in the process, but undoubtedly this is God's process. Maya is a human being God created. We just were standing by to assist. Her coming into the world was all about God and Maya alone. Can you imagine if it were possible to do this? Attempting to communicate to an unborn baby, and let's say that baby is about to be born, so maybe 9 months along, but still in the mother's womb. Can you imagine trying to communicate to that baby what life in this world would be like? To describe light to that baby. To describe other human beings. To describe what it means to talk to another human being. To describe music, to describe what it feels like to have a summer breeze blow in your face. The baby would never be able to understand what you were trying to communicate or what was about to become reality for him or her. No, at that moment, it was just baby and God. And then as the birthing process starts, there is pain for baby. And I would imagine in baby terms, and probably mommy terms too, it might seem like the pain is taking an awful long time. Maybe it's never going to end. A long period of time to feel pain. And there would be no way for this baby to know it. But the pain would have a message to it. The message would be, you can't stay here in the womb. It's time to move on to the next thing that God has for you. Finally, the moment comes. The pain passes. And the baby is born into a world of wonder. But in that birthing moment before the baby comes into the world to meet her parents, that moment of pain, that moment is just baby and God. Now I'm going to step down and let you hear my pre-recorded portion. I've been having trouble, especially the last couple of days, with the concept of my dad being lonely. Now my mom is there most of the time, but the times maybe at night where he is alone with his thoughts, knowing that my mom won't be able to fix this, knowing that the doctors won't be able to fix this, alone with his discomfort, alone with the realization that he is getting closer to death. This thought drives me crazy. I want to be by his side and to fix it somehow. But this is what C.S. Lewis is talking about here. God, throughout our lives, occasionally gives us pain to remind us that we cannot call this place home. Not really. The things that we build into our lives to give us a sense of stability and joy, a sense of home, even the feeling of being at home in our own bodies. There is coming a day when we will not be able to keep these things, and it will be back to the way it was on the day of our birth, down to you and God, to me and God. And on the day of our birth, there was pain, but that pain brought us into an amazing reality that we could never have imagined when we were in the womb. And at the other end of life, this will be the same. It will come down to you and God alone. No matter how much we try to hang on to the things of this place, you face that moment alone with Him. So the realization for me in this thought is that while I can go to the cities and sit with my dad and keep him company, and I will do that, in the end, I really cannot go through this for him or with him. I can't fix it for him. He has to face it alone, just as we all will someday. Hopefully surrounded by loved ones, but ultimately alone with our God. And like that baby, we will all go through the pain at the end of our lives. We don't have any choice. And it likely will seem a long experience of pain. But also, just like that baby, we have no idea what lies on the other side. The wonders that await us. The incredible experience that will quickly and completely erase the memory of the pain that we experience in death.
just as a baby doesn't remember the pain of birth. So yeah, it's driving me crazy that my dad has to face pain. It would appear that the near future may hold days of pain for him. But the message that he has given his whole life to, the message of Jesus Christ, is that he is going to be okay. That he will face this pain and this suffering and will go through it. God will not leave him. It will be down to him and God, and he will pass through it and come out on the other side, and he is going to be okay. In fact, better than okay.
This is where our faith meets the ultimate test, isn't it? Can we continue to trust in God when we face the moment of one of our parents passing away, or a spouse passing away, or a child passing away? Can we continue to trust in God when it comes time for us to face the pain that the dying process will likely bring to us? Can we hold God's hand through it? Just God and you. Job, a book about a man intimately acquainted with unbelievable suffering. In Job 19, Job says this, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth after my skin has been destroyed. Yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I, not another. How my heart yearns within me." So the message for all of us in this is this. I don't know exactly why we have to go through pain and death. I know somehow it's related to Satan and sin. I know that God deeply cares for people who are suffering and that he will heal you one way or the other. We remember that Jesus has gone through suffering similar to what you are facing. And while it's hard to think of offering advice to someone who is dying, because we can't experience it, we're not experiencing it, we're just imagining it, and you hesitate to speak. But from what I read in Scripture, I believe that the advice would have to simply be to hang on. This time needs to happen where it gets back to you and God. There will be birthing pains as you prepare to be born into a whole new existence. The idea of facing this scares me. Doesn't it scare you? This is one of the hardest facts of life. But if you can, take courage, because God is with you. Grind through it. Don't lose trust in the Lord. There is hope. Even in this terrible situation, God will bring you through to the other side, and you will forget that you ever had pain. So hang on. Now, I don't want to miss a message in this for those of you who are not following Christ, or who are on the fence, or who simply just aren't paying attention to God. Our life is really not ours. Let my dad's pain be a reminder to you today. Let the pain of those in your life who have gone before you be a reminder. Let the pain you've experienced be a reminder. This life is temporary. As much as we want to, we cannot hold on to these things. One day it comes down to you returning to a situation that you were in on the day of your birth. All else will be stripped away. What's that moment going to look like for you? People, there's only one religion in the world that I believe offers hope to you. There's only one religion in the world that not only offers hope, but offers real solid reasons, evidence backing up its claims, reasons that people smarter than me have spent a lot of time analyzing and concluded that the historical Jesus lived and that he is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God. And this Jesus has a message. You can come through that experience of end-of-life pain and come out on the other side into heaven. You can receive this gift from God at no charge other than simply believing in Jesus and turning your life back over to the one who created you. But you need to do that. You need to get the order of things correctly. And the correct order is not you and then God somewhere down here. The correct order is God and you serving him as your king. Turning your life over to him. The Bible describes it as being born again, spiritually. This is what saves you and gets you into heaven when you die. If you get to the end of your life and confront God without having made this correction and having received the gift that Jesus offers you, you know, I would love to tell you that it's all going to be okay because I don't want to see anybody suffer. But I can't give you that assurance today because it's not in Scripture. Jesus says, in order to be brought into heaven, you must believe and turn your life over to him. I want to offer an opportunity for you today to do that. Whether this is a first-time commitment or a renewal of an earlier commitment that you have made that has gone stale. Let's do some business with God today. I'm going to play a song by the band Switchfoot that's been meaningful to me as I've thought about my dad and the scenario of dying. If the style of music is not your style, I hope you can still pay attention to the words. I hope you can see them up here. While this song is playing now, I'm going to ask you to stay in your seats, except for the worship team, who I am going to ask to come forward. Stay in your seats, concentrate on the song. And while you're reflecting on that song, think about whether or not you have business to do with God today. At the end of the song, the worship team is going to sing a song or two that they had done earlier. They'll repeat it for us. And if at that time you want to come down front and do some business with God, I invite you at that point when the worship team starts playing to do that. You can stand, you can sit, but let's do business with God. Let's take a listen to that song from Switchfoot.
Even my thirsty streams, even in my dreams, I am.
We're going to keep the altar open. I'm going to dismiss you now, but we'll worship band, if you wouldn't mind playing at least one more song. Feel free to continue to come. And as you're leaving, if you could respect what's going on down here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You're dismissed. Go with God.